The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping. In looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. The Gospel of the Lord.
Let us pray. Jesus, on this day of resurrection, help us to see resurrection in the world about us. Help us to practice resurrection in our lives, that when this world sees only death, we see new life, hope, new beginnings. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Early dawn. As the sun was rising on the first day of the week, it was then that the women came to the tomb. These faithful ones who remained with him to the end, through his suffering on the cross, to the tomb, and who returned with spices once the day of Sabbath had passed. In Eastern Orthodox traditions, these women are known as the myrrh bearers, the ones to whom the good news of the resurrection is first revealed, and apostles to the apostles, because it is they who bring the good news of the resurrection to Jesus' disciples who had gone into hiding. But they knew none of this when they set out that morning. They were grief-stricken, devastated, unable to get back what they had lost, the life that they had come to know in his presence, the hope that they'd allowed themselves to feel that he might be the one. All of it gone. The one who had guided them, had taught them a new way to live, had taught them to care for others as he had cared for them. And so the best they could do was to do just that for him, for his body, there in the cold of the tomb. But then they arrive. And the stone is rolled away, his body is gone, and suddenly, out of nowhere, two men appear in their midst, named as angels in other accounts of this tale. Our translation says their clothes were dazzling, but the Greek invokes clothes that flashed like lightning. It was sudden. It was bright. And the women hit the deck. They bowed down to the ground in fear and wonder. And the mysterious men speak. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. When I hear their question, I hear it in the voice of the Cheshire Cat from Alice in Wonderland, as if it's a riddle for them to solve. The angel, with an amused half smile on his face, why do you look for the living among the dead? Why look for what's done, what's over, instead of what will be? God is doing a new thing. To be clear, resurrection is not erasure of what has come before, but new life that has gone through and come back out of the worst this world has to offer, and proclaims that there is more life, more love, more light, even beyond the very worst days. There is no evil, no hatred, no suffering so great that it cannot be overcome by this love. It's a love that endures. Love that's been through some things, that has seen some things. Those of you who journeyed with us through the book of Psalms this Lent, through the movements of orientation and disorientation and reorientation, will recognize this pattern as it has always been God's way. Love that orients us, love that abides with us through the depths of disorientation and suffering, love that reorients us to the new life that awaits on the other side of sorrow. Changed, enlightened, wiser for what it has endured. This has, of course, been our journey over these last couple of years, when things got interrupted, shut down, locked down, and we were thrown into disorientation like many of us have never known before. I have never preached in this church on Easter Sunday until this moment. Hallelujah! And when our conversations turn toward a time when COVID is over, there's a tendency to talk about getting things back to the way they were before, getting back to normal. But even here, the angel's question echoes, why do you seek the living among the dead? Why are you clinging to what's old and familiar rather than stepping into a story of new life? Often the answer is that it requires change, and on the whole, we're not too fond of change. But resurrection is not going back to what was. It's about transformation into something new. God says, I'm doing a new thing, not I'm bringing back that old thing. It's not that the way things were is necessarily bad. In the case that we're talking about this morning, alive Jesus was in fact a very good thing. But that ended. Betrayal happened. Humiliation happened. Abandonment, violence, suffering, agony happened. Jesus was dead. And in the grave, the reason that the women were bringing the spices early that morning was to lessen the stench of death. But then he rose. He rose from the dead, bearing in his body the wounds of the cross. And though less visible, he bore other wounds as well. The hurt, the grief, the trauma of what he had endured. And in his rising, we see that a resurrected life is not one that has never known sorrow or pain, but one that has known it deeply, that has stared down the hounds of hell and lived to tell the tale. It's a story of hope that endures, of chances to begin again. It's no accident that the people who were most drawn to Jesus were the people most acquainted with sorrow and pain. For the poor, the brokenhearted, the sick, the outcast, the sinners, new life, the chance to start again, a new beginning, was very good news indeed. They heard the invitation to new life and couldn't wait for it to start. It also makes sense why the rich and the powerful wanted nothing to do with him. When everything in life is good and you're the one in control, this talk about new life sounds like a threat. You have the most to lose. Even the disciples, these men who had come to enjoy a certain amount of prestige in the company of Jesus, so much so that they found occasions to argue about just who was the greatest, who tried to remain high on the mountain with Moses and Elijah instead of going back down into the masses in need of healing down below. They hadn't made it through this last week unscathed. But when the woman come to them with the news of resurrection, they are fond enough of the way things were that they call the women's report of a new thing an idle tale, which is a fancy translation for a word that means something more along the lines of garbage, nonsense, bull, a load of crap. But there's hope for the disciples yet. And we see this glimpse of hope in Peter, the one who has very recently, just a few days before, denied his teacher and closest friend. For him, the chance at new beginning is amazing news. He rushes to the tomb to see if it could possibly be true, returning home full of amazement. Jesus appears to his disciples in the 40 days to come and teaches them about a life of resurrection, not as a one-time thing, but what some writers have called practicing resurrection, a phrase I love because it requires practice. There will always be things that feel like the end of the story, deaths, both literal and figurative, throughout our lives. But we gather here this morning not because we are people who have all the answers, who have life all figured out, but because we are people who believe in resurrection, people who need to believe in resurrection, who come here to remember that no matter the pain or the darkness, or the sorrows we have known in our lives, no matter what others have done to us, no matter how we have failed, we can always begin again. When we speak of proclaiming resurrection in this world, this is the good news we bring. And I promise you, this world desperately needs to hear it. Beginning again does not mean that we go back to how it was before, that hurts are simply erased, that there are no consequences, that everything's fine. No, like the resurrected Christ, we will bear wounds of what has been. But we carry all that has been with us as we look with hope for what could be. And we dream with each other and with God about how we make it real. We practice resurrection. We begin again. Amen.